Man, I write rhymes when I chill. I know the deal, saying stuff that you can feel. I keep it real. Girls, I got a lot. When I step on stage, they jock. Man, I'm hot. The freshest dude on my block.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband, Mick, deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is part two of The Secret Analysis. And if you have a question for us, it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And, well, you never know, there might be somebody on the international number that's awake that can't, you know, got insomnia or something. It's 001-530-876-3222, but that's not toll-free. Okay, and I'll tell you a little bit more about our subject in a little while.
Okay, well, hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirit's Work on the ever-wonderful pbsradio.com. Every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you would like to know more about us, our books, or any of the other services we offer, perhaps book an Akashic reading, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Oh, and by the way, of course, we also sell audio CDs, and there's a new whale CD that's actually come out. It's a triple CD, so I expect you'll all want to rush out immediately and go and get it.
The video on VO.
No, I wasn't talking about that one, dear. I was actually talking about the CD, the whale CD. Oh, okay. And also, of course, on VO, you can actually see a little bit of film that we've put up there. It was only done with a little Mickey Mouse camera, but that's all right. I'm sure Mickey isn't too fussed about it. And anyway, it's an interesting little piece of film, a small snap of
Gregory.
Yes. And there it is, on a live situation. Anyway, we're able to do, as spirit mediums, is offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show, and I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do look at our website for a better understanding of how we work. And I'm going to say goodbye for this week. It should only take a few seconds, hopefully, before Gregory is here. Don't forget, though, that every time we do this, it's actually an experiment. Although we've never had a failure
have
we?
Yes, I was just going to say, and luckily enough, it's always worked. So Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, as we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And if you have a show suggestion for us, perhaps there's a topic that you would like us to cover one week, do get in touch. It's to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And we'll see what we can do. And tonight we're going to be discussing the secret again. Actually, not specifically the secret, but it's just because it's brought it to our attention. Really, it's the law of attraction and all that. That entails really. It's really, if anybody didn't see The Secret, it's talking about basically what you focus on, you bring to yourself. So you are attracting what you want, basically, when you are focused on it. So, in other words, if you attract, if you are constantly thinking negative things, then you attract negative situations to you as well. And it's all about doing this in a purposeful way, really, which is great. And we're actually sort of maybe delving a little bit deeper into it because obviously it's not as simplistic as it sounds because we are having our physical Earth existence and it can be very difficult at times, to say the least. So we're actually talking about other things to do with it. Last week, I think we ended up on how other people's thoughts impacted on our lives, but we'll see where we continue on today. And I'd like to welcome Gregory. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, as always.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yes, last week I think we ended up on other people's thoughts and how we were, through prayer, you could actually send your positive attractive thoughts to other people. And I'd just like to say again that we actually have been talking about this law of attraction, this energy of the universe for many years now, as have others. But we always call it positive harmonic propulsion.
Yes, absolutely so. Because it has not just much more of a ring to it, but it's actually acting on the physical level. And when you talk about the physical level, you are dealing with matters of and energies of the etheric world. You are actually pushing the energy away from you toward your destination, which may, of course, be someone in the ether world or someone else in the physical world. In that case, it is your energy of love which is propelling that energy. That's why it's called positive harmonic propulsion, because it is ascending within your own specific harmony. Your vibration index is raised by the actual acquisition of that energy, of the growth of it, the birth of it, and the way in which you impact it and throw it out from your life to someone else's, in the form of a prayer maybe, or it may be an actual active result of something that you do. But perhaps, for example, as we had said before, that it may well be that you are sending this out as a loving vibration of healing energy. Perhaps you are connecting in some way with those who work with you, healing guides or whoever it is. You may know their names, you may not. It isn't necessary for you to always have to know whose name is this or whose name is that, for you to become a healing agent of the spirit world. And let me also say that although many people speak of different realms or different distinctions between this or that healing energy, and I know that you have different forms of certification for each specific serial energy that you feel that you conjure up or are becoming masters of, the situation still remains that all energy that is non-physical is part of the ether world, and as such is the domain of the spirit world, because that's what the spirit world is. It's everything that you are not and everything that you are.
Very good. So talking about energy, we have to be very careful. I mean, the thing is, we are affected by other thoughts of us, aren't we? We don't include very often the impact in this. This is why a lot of the talk about this law of attraction can be simplistic in the way that it doesn't tend to include the impact that others' lives have on us.
No, quite so. And this, of course, is quite misleading to the whole nature of how you may have impacting energy results from the interaction between one another. The point is that is, I believe, laid at the feet of, the person must have thought of this being a part of their pathway in order to attract it. That generally tends to be a precursor to the situation perhaps of some innocent child or other being slaughtered by somebody else. Oh, they must have brought it upon themselves, or they had planned it all in another lifetime as well. This, of course, offers absolutely no account whatsoever of actually what the spirit world is, and shows, in fact, that the person who is laying this as a part of the spirit world law of attraction, as it were, is actually completely non-comprehensive about the actual facts of the spirit world existence and how it actually works. The point I have to make here, of course, is that, in fact, the situation is that very few people actually, whilst having a physical human existence, have actually planned out their life. And certainly it would be to say that the spirit world has not planned out that life. It is a complete fallacy and a false statement of fact. Because in point of reference to you, each individual has a free will existence. If it were to be that every single one of you was forced to form a plan before your actual physical journey and then follow along that plan rigidly to the nth degree, then it would, of course, become that journey as being something of a foregone conclusion, if you'd like. All erring upon one way or another perhaps would be sacrosanct from the point of the spirit world. But of course it isn't like that at all, quite simply because the spirit world is one individual place. And yes, I understand some people will have had some hand in an aspect of their what they are going to do. Perhaps there have been specific plans of certain meetings somewhere along the road, but it's still a matter of how you get there is your free will and understanding. You make the choices in physical life. That does not mean to say, having said that statement, which is a truthful account of the spirit world, you do not make the choice as a child to be slaughtered by some deranged adult. either with a gun upon your head or a knife in the throat or the stomach. You do not bring this upon you to be some poor martyr which has, in fact, been perhaps cursed for having to take part in an act of war. For these are not your wars. These are not your thoughts, only in as much as it has been at the reverence of other people, of other people's minds, that they wish you to follow that path. And they are having orders over you. They are having power over you. And that is why you people are led to war. It is why people are led to the great vengeful killings. It's never on their own merit. It's always on somebody else's. So, yet does this mean that they don't have to take responsibility for it? Well, no, it doesn't. They do have to take responsibility for it. And I know this cuts most deeply for many people, particularly those perhaps who have been present in the great wars of the world and that kind of thing, or even perhaps wars within gun cultures or drug rings or something like that. I believe that's the phrase you use. The situation is people have a freedom of choice, or they are subject to other people's freedom of choice. And those people's freedoms of choice sometimes overpower yours. Even with the best will in the world, the brightest spark, the most peaceful and loving mind can be thwarted by the power and energy of someone else who wishes you ill.
Okay. Now, we know that positive thought is absolutely the way to go. I mean, everybody needs to, you know, needs to practice this and be able to do it. Really.
Yes.
We desperately need to do that.
Desperately,
but
yes.
I've heard it said as well that if you do not have the ability to know what you want, you won't have the ability to know what you don't want. Now, I'm not sure. I mean, because it goes on to say, and without the ability to know what you don't want, you could not know what you do want. So, I don't actually get that. I mean, and that this is a saying from, well, I won't say who it is, but I've just
yes.
thought, well, surely that's not right, because, you know, you're doing the positive thinking
Yes.
reaching out to the law of attraction in a positive way, because you just want
something better than is now.
Exactly.
Yes.
You don't have to know what you want, do you? Surely.
No, you just have to understand that you have an attraction towards something which is not this. And that you know by the very facet of your own morality, does that mean to say then you instantly know what you want? No, indeed not. Because for some people, many children, for example, have to go through a great long principle of practice in order to actually discover what their morality code is.
Yes.
Some people in physical life don't even discover it at all. And there, they are running amok. And so the situation, of course, is that if you have a person who is, if you are thinking that you don't know what to think, then perhaps then it would be better for you to steal your activity or your action about the things that you don't know what to think about, so therefore you must be out of control if that's the case, if that's the event. It means quite simply that by the situation of practice of thought, or the conclusion perhaps of that you see situations upon your world, around you, things that are around you, you can automatically think, even if you see it in the media, that as one person slays another person, whether you gravitate toward that or not. Is it wrongful? Is it willful? Is it something that you would not like to happen to you? Well, of course it is, through your own preservation. Therefore, at the most basic form of instinct, you have made a choice. So the person who is saying that it doesn't apply to you if you cannot even think of a pathway of what that positive thought might be, then you don't deserve to have it. That's like saying, oh, well, just come and kill me then. Or just come and chop my head off, or take all my possessions, or whatever. So you're like this eunuch of society, if you like, that is just waiting there to be overcome by something else or someone else. All people can form the basic instinct provisions if they have that part of mind to do so. Now, perhaps then we ought to talk about those people who actually don't have that part of mind to do so. And that would be, of course, people who are perhaps, shall we say, they are having difficulty with their mind.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they're autistic or some in some other way they are mentally challenged in some way. Mm-hmm. Now, that, of course, may well mean that their morality code is not specifically the same. So this would occur in a person such as this, and then perhaps they wouldn't actually know whether they were supposed to do this or that, whether they were supposed to act in this way or that way in the company of certain other people. But perhaps most certainly they would know. They would know how to love. Absolutely. Ask any child of Mongol form of that kind of situation of their mind. And I can assure you, they will all know how to love.
And they are very often very happy too.
And very, very loving. Yes, absolutely so. They're the first ones who want to come and give you a hug if it's all right for them to do so.
Yes.
And they'll ask you first, do you mind if I come and hug you? I just want to be loved. And I want to give you love. You see, even in the simplest form, people know how to love. You don't have to teach them that. They already know it. The point that comes up in physical human life is that people step away from that pathway because they think it's perhaps fragile, too fragile in this modern world, or perhaps that isn't standing up and taking the power for yourself because otherwise someone else will take it for you. Loving energy is something which comes naturally, or at least it should do. But many human beings, from our point of view, have forgotten how to use it, how to connect with that energy. So this is something then that children or people who are suffering from mental deficiencies, as society would have it, are more than capable of producing. That beautiful loving energy to give, to send to someone else. Think about that for a moment.
Okay. Well, it's all about monitoring your thoughts and not dwelling in the negativity.
Yes.
On negative thoughts and situations.
Yes.
So, otherwise you will attract that to you, okay? Because you're thinking about it.
That is true.
Okay, so how does this work then with counselling, the law of attraction? How would this work with constant a counselling situation where you are going week after week delving into the depths of your darkest hours and things that, you know, and dwelling on those dark moments.
Yes, and attracting to them.
Yes, exactly.
I absolutely, totally agree with you, my friend. It's one of those little aspects of the psychology of the mind that I feel that many people in the psychoanalysis department fail to actually see. Well, if you constantly bring about this journey, yes, I know that you're trying to get that person to understand what their life has been and why they have brought about all of those conditions and feelings, and the nuances of life are most definitely very deep and very difficult to unearth. But for some people, it may well be the wrong course to take for them, particularly if they've had an ultra-traumatic experience, perhaps some kind of near-death experience, which it may not well help them to actually regurgitate such journeys very specifically or repetitively, quite simply because By doing so, yes, they may well remember certain nuances of the journey, but also at the same time, the fear that arose at that time, I understand it's the precept of many counselors that they would use that that branch of fear, where that has come from, in order to try to show the student or the client how they actually came about that fear in the first place. The point is, however, that many of these travels during the mind process are born of other conditions, of other situations, and actually to, at times, to actually have a client who is actually bringing out all of these griefs of themselves in such a repetitive way is not necessarily making it well. The situation that we feel, which is much more advancing for the well-being of the individual, is not to gloss it over either, but to actually say, well, all right, in a very factual way, this is what has happened and this is why it came about. And yes, there may well be pathways that you want to divulge in order to break a certain hold upon a person that some form of negativity may have, specifically tied to bonding issues or abuse issues, that kind of thing. However, there comes a point when you have investigated that as a process and you have come to a conclusion of it. At that point, of course, there is no point in continually regurgitating it or revisiting it because you have already dealt with it. The session then should be that you show the person how exactly that they are to heal over this account, over this situation. If you do not, you are representing a retractive situation for the patient, and that person is actually becoming quite laden with their fruits of their mind.
Yes, I mean, I'm sure anybody that's had any form of counselling or therapy, you know, knows that, I mean, at the time, if you are in the depths of despair, then it's wonderful to be able to unload on somebody that's not a friend, that you're not going to burden a friend.
Yes.
I think that's a key thing as well.
Yes, absolutely so. And I do feel that that is making a very great deal of sense.
Yeah.
And a great, shall I say, a great platform for that person to be able to do that really, for that counsellor to be able to facilitate that kind of situation for a person is not a simple thing. It's a very difficult thing to do.
Absolutely. And but I think also, you know, you can be having a really good day and, oh, look, it's the day that you're supposed to be going for your therapy session and you are feeling full of the joys of spring, and then you walk in and everything's got to come out again.
Yes.
And you just feel dreadful again. So,
yes.
So, because actually there are doors that shouldn't be open. It's a physiological chemical chain reaction. It's actually something that is more than your thought.
Yes, because yes, absolutely. Because of course, what you are doing is you are reenacting the actual physiological exchanges that you experienced at that time when you were actually experiencing the situation, the activity in physical state. Therefore, you are regurgitating the same pheromonic activity by remembering it, and by remembering it in such detail as though you were living it minute by minute, means to say that you are encountering this exact same reaction in your physiological state. This means, then, that you are overacting the situation that it becomes actually much larger in your life than it would necessarily have been had you had the foresight to be able to not rub it out, but to be able to repair it in a more holistic and loving and giving way. That means that you can heal it. How can you possibly heal such a wide open wound that is constantly being reopened?
Absolutely. And I'd like to say thank you for anybody that might have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing the law of attraction and the Secret, the DVD, and what we call positive harmonic propulsion. And if you would like a question to put to Gregory, then do give us a ring. In the U.S., it's toll-free, and in Canada, it's toll-free. The number in U.S. is 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-815-9756. I've heard that as well, I've heard it said that when you focus for as little as 17 seconds, you activate that vibration within you. Would you say that is something that you agree with?
I would say that by and large, it can actually be much shorter time than that.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, it can be as little as 7 seconds.
Right.
And I would not put a figure upon it, because everyone is unique and different and beautiful and blessed. So in that event, regardless of whether you are that person who wields the knife or the one who takes it, your thoughts are the situation, if given the greatest protection and the greatest positivity you can give it, will actually very often be won over. That doesn't mean to say that it always will. But by you actually concentrating your loving energy, by you absolutely willing that situation, you may well bring about a change in your own personal history and the lives of others, of course.
Now, I know this is slightly different, but people who gamble feel that they know they are going to win.
Yes, of course. There are these premonitious moments, and they do actually arrive because they are, in fact, sometimes dipping within the timeline. They are understanding that they just suddenly fall into the synchronicity of life, and there you have it. It's as though it's exactly the same as when you are knowing who it is that is going to telephone you in the next 10 minutes or
right.
Something like that. You're using exactly the same relationship between yourself and the universe, whether you are gambling or whether you are doing that.
So that's not actually attracting that situation to them. That's actually having a premonition of the sort of synchronicity wave that they're riding on at that moment or whatever, and dipping
yes.
into the timeline.
Yes, and of course, yes, absolutely. And of course, for many people, particularly if they're actually able to connect, and they you suddenly know when you do connect with synchronicity, you feel that the pathway for you is completely wide open, and that your sense of knowledge and understanding, your sense of direction for your mind, that is, the thoughts and feelings that you have of it, propel you forward into the activity that you want to create for yourself. And that is exactly what you do.
And that's when the right people turn up, the right situations turn up. You
yes.
just seem to be on a roll. Would you say that there are that some people are just lucky people, though? Because I know, you know, I think everybody knows somebody that you think, blimey, you know, nothing ever seems to go wrong for them.
Yes, quite so. It does appear to be that some people just waltz through life like some noble antelope.
And they're not spiritual people or anybody
no.
who's particularly trying to help anybody else or do anything except for themselves.
Yes, that's true. And I have to say that just because you are doing that doesn't mean to say that you are automatically going to reap the rewards for it. And it doesn't also necessarily mean to say that you won't.
But doesn't it also follow that because there's possibly self-centered to a point that they just don't think anything, they don't think of other people or any, they feel out of, untouched by anything that goes on, that it's not anything to do with them and therefore it's not. They don't fear.
Yes, that's quite true as well. If a person thinks, for example, that this or that doesn't happen, that it's not a part of their lives, of global warming perhaps, shall we say. Some people think that that is something which doesn't exist.
Mm.
And for all intents and purposes, it will go on not existing in their life,
mm.
even if the whole of the 99% of the rest of the population say that it does. They will still continue with their own sway of mind, quite simply because they don't want to see it. Or they just believe themselves, of themselves, of their own mindset, their own conditioning is of such that it has been resolved completely within themselves. It's exactly the same thing, my dear friend, when you have people who are immersed in a particular religion or a particular religious indoctrination, shall we say. Now, this may be something to do with Mother Mary. It may be something to do with Jesus. It may not. It may be something to do with the Quran. It may be that they are looking at certain ayatollahs or whoever and seeing their miraculous lives and perhaps their attention is to some specific guru or other, or perhaps they're thinking about past lives. And all of this is something that has actually become a conditioning of the consciousness. So therefore, you can never be swayed from it because you are conditioned in it and just as rigid as anyone else. Therefore, you are then at the point of whether you are presented with the truth or facts which are alternate to your own thought and view, and yes, I dare say it, belief or faith, then this still regards as something of a nonsense to you. And that is why people will carry on thinking exactly the same things that they want to think, that there is reincarnation or there is not reincarnation, regardless of the fact of whether they're actually looking at the facts or not. And the facts, of course, will only be speaking for themselves if all the facts are known. If they're not known, if people are absolutely refuse to look at any other pathway or reason surrounding such activities or such so-called factual analysis, it may well be that people will continue to refuse to believe or continue to refuse to acknowledge that there may well be another pathway other than the reincarnation issue, quite simply because they refuse to acknowledge anything else could exist outside of it. And that's exactly the same, as I say, as many other precepts of preconditions that people have surrounding specific religious situations. It's like they're orgying upon it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're concentrating, throwing all of this energy into this one thing, and everything else becomes like the black background. It's immersed away from their tunnel vision, and all they can see is their primary goal. And that's where they're setting their mind to. Now, if you have a person who is on a path of luck, shall we say, and they feel that they are synchronistically bound at this very moment. Yes, I'm on the path. Yes, I'm going to do this. I'm going to put this, go down the road, and I'm going to put money on this horse or that dog, or perhaps put these numbers on lines or something like that. I don't know. The situation then unfolds, and the propulsion is to such an extent, perhaps it's winning a contract for work. Perhaps it's doing something else, meeting a friend, a lover, a conquest, some other situation. If you are harmonically balanced and moving toward that single-sighted goal, you will reach it. So does that mean to say then that people who think of reincarnation or are fixated upon that or Jesus Christ, that they're actually going to meet that situation? Well, yes, in the figurative sense, in the spirit world, you will meet your destiny exactly as you plan it, exactly as you wish of it, if that is your choosing. However, of course, we draw the line at those who are, shall we say, systematic in their choosing, that they become martyrs, kill other people, other physical human beings, in order to be greeted with 72 virgins. I don't think so. The situation is exactly the same is if you had always idolized Jesus, perhaps, you will meet him when you come to the spirit world, perhaps. Yes, of course you will. Of course you will.
Why will you?
Because you have given that great loving energy toward that being, or toward that symbolism of love. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you can do that and still run amok killing other people in the name of it. So in that respect, you could probably say that half the people who were made ascended beings throughout the Bible, perhaps for one reason or another, a saint for this or that reason, perhaps they had thwarted the enemies of Christianity or something like that. The fact is that they aren't going to be any closer to Jesus than they were in physical life and Jesus was in the spirit world.
So are you saying that every clergy and every priest is going to see Jesus if that's the religion that they followed?
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
Yes, absolutely so.
In real time?
Well, possibly eventually. I'm not saying that it'll happen immediately. What? But I'm saying, though, that because of their love for that situation is so pure, then it will harvest it. I'm saying also that there will be many people who will symbolize their religious understanding, their faith towards some guru or other. Well, and that is well as well.
Okay. I know we're slightly going off of it here. But
however, religion itself in the spirit world does not exist at all. It's just a symptom of physical reality. And that's a fact.
Right.
There is no religion in the spirit world.
So the person who is a good person, who prays every night, and okay, they were brought up to say, for instance, for it to be Jesus or whatever.
Yes.
But just lived their life and didn't actually go to church every week or that sort of thing. Which is good people.
It matters not.
Will they see Jesus?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Of course.
So we're not saying that this is like a prize for anything.
No, and it certainly is not a prize either, my dear friend. If you have one person with a rather large amount of wealth who donates to a church or something like that.
Okay, well, hang on a second.
Oh,
I've got a question.
Oh, well, very well. Very well. I'm sorry.
I had an email come in.
Because
you were touching on it then. Oh, hang on. I'll do it afterwards. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, who's
friend.
This?
Hi, Silvery. My name is Gordon. I've called you before.
Oh, hello, Gordon.
Oh, hello, friend. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? I do think this relates to the show somewhat, because I wanted to ask you, Gregory, you and your spirit team come up with such wonderful words put together to for invocations and affirmations, and they've really worked for me, because I noticed a significant difference between the ones that you say and then I've gotten from other sources.
Yes.
And I was hoping that tonight, you know, you could help me out with, well, it'll help everybody, but connecting with the Mother Goddess feminine energy of God, the Earth Mother energy, and I'd like to bring that more into my life and start to work with that, and I was just hoping you could bring some really nice words together. I know you can.
Yes, my dear friend. Absolutely so. When one is looking at the pathway of certain situations, perhaps, and you wish to connect with Mother Earth, the spirit of the Earth itself is something that you are really needing to be in harmony with. And so what you would say, perhaps, is that, dear blessed spirit of the earth, this would be a grand way for us to unite in this state. Me and my spirit, me and my consciousness, trying to be as pure as I may, and you with your glory, your beauty before me. Every day I step before you. Every day I walk upon your hand. Every day I am blessed with the air that I breathe at your command. My dear Mother Earth, forgive me for all that I do, for all that I create, which is going to help not you, but those who hate. I wish to give of you, Mother Earth, the piece of me that I am love and I am willing. to be of service to you if I can. Dear blessed earth energy, dear kingdom of all, the lives we live are but little, but you know that each one of us can care and be in our soul. For Mother Earth, you create the beauty with which we all can see, and we divine your blessings upon us to set us free, to live and love in this freedom.
Okay, Gordon?
Wonderful. It was so humbly put. I just love the way he speaks. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless, my friend. Thank you, Gordon. God bless.
All right.
Well, how am I going to follow that with this question? This is really changing the vibration again.
It's quite all right, friend. This is what we are about.
Okay.
We are diversified enough that we can talk on one moment, on one subject, and completely switch to something else. That is because we are of the spirit world, and we are here to be of service.
Okay, well, we had an email, from a regular listener, Pam, and she says, my limited knowledge of Scientology is, and she's not 100% on this, but when a person progresses to higher levels within the church, through the church-sanctioned education and by paying lots of dollars, it's supposed to attract the person to success with anything that that person endeavors. So she says, how is the secret different other than not having the money part? You know, why does paying any money make any difference towards the person's successes?
Well, it really doesn't. It's all a matter of the persona of the person, of what you wish and what you will of it. It's exactly the same, my dear friend, as people in my day in the 1700s and way before that. At the time of 1085, in that year period, there were times when the poor peasants were made to sit and kneel on the floor, and when all other people who had wealth and propriety and that they actually had a sense of understanding about themselves, they were able to come nearer to God quite simply by buying a part of the church, by installing perhaps some pews or a different nave, a new nave or something like that. They were then able to be closer to God and perhaps even buried in the church itself. Now that was an icon to be a living in your own spiritual family, that you could actually be buried in your church if you paid for it. Be buried within one of the walls or in the floor. And of course, that was something of great notoriety, in exactly the same way that other churches and other institutions, I'm not singling out Scientology specifically, other institutions will work on the premise of the fact that if you give all of this money, I understand that some gurus demand full payment of the whole person's wealth. There, you give up that magnificent house and that Rolls Royce, or give me all of your gold and I will make you closer to God. For the person who sees that and goes with it, they're a fool, I have to say. Absolutely. Although it is to say, of course, that the trappings of wealth are not going to be something which is going to transcend the pathway for a physical person who wishes to be spiritually identified. You can be a poor beggar in the street, as many are. Take India, for example, full of beggars, absolutely. Most of the people there actually do not have two pennies to rub together. However, there is situations which are changing. There are many degrees by which some people are unfortunately born into a specific caste, therefore are not allowed to work in a certain thing, or are not allowed to get above their station, because in exactly the same way as the caste system of which I have just spoken of, in the churches and that kind of institution, you have situations where people with wealth are already placed above everyone else. That is a situation which, of course, is actually untenable in the spirit world. And actually, you can have the most simplest of person in the physical world reality who actually wishes only love of themselves and toward other fellows. They are far spiritually higher and endowed in that way than anyone who has to forfeit wealth for a position in a hierarchical situation of faith or establishment of spirituality.
Well, I'm glad about that. Do other planets have this law of attraction?
It's a law of the universe, my dear friend.
Yeah.
So the situation is then, yes, you could say that some planets have a greater attraction than others. You could say, perhaps, that in some instances, the law of attraction wasn't about the spirit of the planet at all, but of the people upon it. Perhaps they were warlike or something like that. Perhaps it was that, like so many of the OPAC nations, that the sentiment behind it may well have been spiritually motivated to begin with, and yet, perhaps for some of them, it actually diversified into a warlike act against someone else. The situation becomes, of course, that they then begin to attract or create such negativity, such gross states of display of their wanton behavior, that they actually bring it about themselves, upon themselves, at the point of their passing. So actually, when they do finally pass to the spirit world, they aren't going to get the results and the rewards that they feel that they are owed because of their religious fervitude. They're quite simply, perhaps because of their gross negativity, going to reap the opposite. That doesn't mean to say they're going to be sent to hell, but it does mean to say that they will have to recover from their own systemic situation. They will have to perjure themselves of that,
mm-hmm.
and do so by doing well and good deeds toward others. And genuine, of a genuine state too, not ones that boast of the ego or anything to do with the I am. After all, Mother Teresa, although she was of a Catholic faith, never said anything, was never of a faith. In fact, always denied that faith played a part in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact.
Okay. So we've got a couple of minutes left.
Yes.
If the law of attraction amplifies the vibration that is within you...
Yes.
It is too simplistic, isn't it, to say that there's never been an injustice anywhere in the physical time-space reality or anywhere else?
It is far too simplistic, and in actual fact to say that there have been many injustices. However, the situations apparently appear to be that for the much of humanity and the gross states of acts of violence which humanity perpetrates upon one another are usually through the desire and design of one or more people who have more power than they have knowledge of what to do with. And it usually ends up in those people becoming bigots, racist beings who have no thought or mind of love or intent. And the situation usually then becomes that they are, in fact, dwelling in their own egotism to such an extent that they fall foul of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many wars and a great many injustices which were brought about willingly by other people, by certain people who actually knew what they were doing and they just wanted to get away with it, see how much they could push the envelope, perhaps. Exactly what you're having now. are various situations or political intrigue by people who are just trying to see how far they can push the situation, to see what they can get away with, to see if they can actually bring people to their knees without actually seemingly having to do anything on the surface. It's a great bed of negativity that exists in the physical world at present, but in the spirit world, we are mindful of the fact that human beings have a resource, a very clever little resource, known only to themselves, and that is the resource of love. There's also another one that links very closely to it, the resource of truth, and knowledge, and wisdom, and yes, there's lots of them, you see. There's lots of all these little resources which, added up together, make for a very powerful being.
Well,
and that is what you have to focus on.
Well, I think we need to focus on some of that next week and find out
yes. If
there's any tricks of the trade, that because it seems that it's easier to stay, stay on a negative role than a positive role, because
because
it's so difficult in this life. On Earth now.
Absolutely, yes,
so,
and that's because it's the prevalent energy which exists.
Yes. Okay, well, I want to talk about that.
Yes, very well, friend. With love and light, and blessings be upon your pathway forever.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'd like to say thank you for anybody that joined us for the first time. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. For the first time, just as well, it's the end of the show, hey. And we hope that you join us again on Thursday, as well as Monday. And do visit our website. It's www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us, maybe book an Akashic reading, have a browse through the site, and have a look at the other services that we offer. Anyway, thank you very much. My name is Sylvie Avery. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.